Blog Talk Radio.
That's my soft music, isn't it, Beth?
Yeah. How did you do that?
My daughter's boyfriend took care of it for me. So what's going to be interesting is to see if we can talk over it without it sounding garbled. I don't know. We'll find out when we hit the archives, right?
Mm-hmm.
I love this song.
I do too. It always makes me dance.
Yeah, there you go. Have you seen, what's it called? Sandlots or Sand Park or something? I can't believe I can't remember the name of that movie.
Not too
well, anyway. Hello, everybody, and thank you for listening to Heart and Soul, Reflections on Purpose, Passion, and Perseverance. I'm Jory Fisher, your host, and joining me today, May 4th, and every week at this time, is my friend and co-host, Beth Scanzani. Would you like to say hello, Beth?
I would, Jory. And by the way, it's May 5th.
Oh, right.
Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, yeah.
Cinco de Mayo, everybody.
That's a big deal. 5-5, of course, it's not 2005.
5-5 five equals 10.
There you go. Mm-hmm. There you go. That's excellent.
Yeah.
Well, I'm still excited that I just have my computer working this morning, or the internet. I got up this morning, Beth. It wasn't working, just as you predicted yesterday.
Oh, no.
It's true. Internet was down. Thankfully, my husband was home. So I waited for him to wake up, and I said, help. So we shouldn't have predicted that yesterday, Beth.
We really were talking about it, and we were talking about the fact that we shouldn't be talking about it.
Exactly. That's incredible.
Isn't
so
it?
Anyway, today
note
is
to self.
That's right, note to self. And today is May 5th, 2010. 5 + 5 = 10. That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm actually going to talk a little bit more about that during the coaching suggestion.
Ah, perfect. Perfect. Well, at any rate, our topic today is Wake Up to Your Dreams, and my special guest is our favorite co-host, life coach, true purpose coach, and dream coach, Beth Scanzani. Beth, I am so happy that you're actually going to be speaking about not one, but, well, actually, I was going to say not your primary one, but one of your true loves, and that is dream coaching. You do have several, and I'm excited you'll be talking about how you can help people with their dreams. So that's very exciting.
Well, thanks, Jory. And it is one of my truest passions. And actually, it's the way that that I met Tim in a roundabout way, which I'll talk about a little bit later.
And, of course, you'll have to explain who this Tim person is.
Yes, I will.
Great.
You got to keep everybody waiting.
I know, exactly. I'd like to extend a warm welcome to our faithful fans and participants, and an especially warm welcome to those of you who are listening today for the very first time. I'm delighted to have you on the show, Beth, as my guest speaker. This is going to be a real treat for people, and some of our listeners may have already heard your interview. It was back in January, so they may have heard that one, and if not, I encourage you out there to do that. But you'll certainly learn even more about Beth today because she is focusing on the dream work that she loves to do. So, Beth, would you please give our listeners a brief preview of our topic today?
Okay, great. So, coming on the call today, I'm going to help you understand what's happening when you have a sleeping dream and also how you can remember and understand more of what your dreams are coming to tell you. And I'm going to also help you gain an appreciation for just how much dream work can help you to create a happier and more fulfilling waking life. So just to be clear, in case anybody thinks about calling in or sending in a check to ask about a specific dream question on a dream of their own, I'm not going to be doing any dream interpretation today. We're going to be talking about dreams, but not interpreting people's dreams.
And would you clarify as well, do you do the interpretation in your own private business?
I do not interpret people's dreams. I help people to interpret their own dreams. Mm-hmm. It's my very, very strong belief that the dream is the dreamer's, And although there may be some collective symbols that have meaning for the dreamer, I really like to make sure that they get the personal meaning of their dreams as well. And that comes, as I'll be discussing, from their own memories and associations and experiences. And so I try to help them get that information for themselves. I can certainly offer hints, but I try to get them to get those ahas themselves, mm-hmm. as opposed to telling them, well, your dream means this or your dream means that.
Exactly. Well, thank you for that distinction. I wanted to make sure that the listeners were clear on that. Mm-hmm. So, Beth, our vision for Heart and Soul is to create a place where, number one, where you can be inspired, encouraged, and supported by people who are making a meaningful difference in their own lives and in the lives of others. And number two, where you can gain some insight into your life purpose and how you can express that unique life purpose to the fullest. Beth, and my motivation for hosting Heart and Soul is our deep desire to fulfill and express our respective life purposes, which includes helping you discover who you are and how you're meant to use your gifts and talents in the world around you. So, Beth, would you please go ahead and say a word, stepping into your co-host role,
okay, yes.
about the format of our show. Very good. I like the stepping.
Okay. So, to listen live by telephone at noon Eastern time now or any Wednesday, call 1-347-326-9296. And if you want to listen live online, you can listen to any of our on-demand shows in the archives. Go to Blog Talk Radio and type in Joy Fisher or Heart and Soul in the search box. Then you can click on today's episode or any of the other archived episodes that you wish to hear. Today, if you wish to talk about our talk on our live chat room, or if you want to call in. Or actually, Joy, are we going to take call-ins today or not?
I think it might be a little complicated for me to listen to you and
yeah, I think so too.
As well.
Yeah, we have both of us co-hosting, and it's a little easier to do that. So mm-hmm. I think the only way that we could do that today is probably chat room. Do you agree, Joy?
Yep.
Okay, so if you want to do the chat room, you need to go to Block Talk Radio and then click on Register on the homepage, enter your name and your email, and then you'll be able to join us on the chat room. And don't forget, you can always download the episodes on MP3s or iTunes if you want to listen to them off your computer.
Excellent. Thanks, Beth. So we encourage you all to participate actively today by sending us your comments or questions via the chat room. As Beth said, it'd be a little bit hard for us to do it by phone today. And then during Beth's interview, I'll be monitoring the chat room to see if you have any questions or comments for her. And then after the interview, Beth will set you up for this week's coaching suggestion. We'll close with a sneak preview of the next edition of Heart and Soul. So now it's my heartfelt pleasure to formally introduce Beth Scanzani to those of you who don't already know her through this show or through the work she does. And before we start the interview, Beth, is there anything that you want to add to your introduction? Well, actually, what would you like to tell us? That would be great. About what should our listeners know about who you are and what you do?
Hmm. What a wonderful question.
Yeah. I think that's probably the best way to do it.
All right, great. Well, let's see. I am a life coach and a leadership coach at this point in my life. And the areas where I have the most passion, as Joy was saying, is in helping people to find their life purpose, also helping people to use their sleeping dreams to find out what's most important for them at this point in their life. And I'll talk a lot more about that in the next 30 minutes or so. And I used to be, prior to this, a human resources executive in a healthcare company. And at some point just got... I think that midlife, urge that people get, and so, started feeling like something's missing. There's something more. There's some part of myself that I want to express, and I don't feel like I can do it here. And really those parts were more my intuition and my creativity and some of the more feminine aspects of who I am. And as life has it, and I can talk about that a little bit more if you want, Joy, when you're ready, mm-hmm. I shifted into becoming a coach, a life coach, leadership coach, and doing work that I absolutely love.
And you're so good at it. I want to add that you have numerous certifications. Number one, you're certified as a true purpose coach, and listeners, she's one of six people who are certified in the world in the true purpose work. I am working on certification, but it'll take a little while before I get there. So kudos to you, Beth. You're also certified as a professional empowerment coach, an energy leadership coach, and a dream coach, and theoretical foundations of coaching. Something about that. What is that? Theoretical foundation.
That's actually a certification program that I took with a certificate program that I took with David Rock.
Okay. Okay, great. So anyway, you are very well qualified and extremely well qualified to speak on dreams. So is there anything else you want to add right at this point, or should we move into the interview?
Well, one thing I would like to add is that I'm also a member of the International Association for the Study of Dreams, which is a worldwide organization and is actually the way that I first found out that there is even such a thing as studying dreams. And they have fantastic conferences every year, and a lot of my learning and staying up to date has come through my association with that organization.
Okay, great. Well, thank you. Well, let's go ahead and delve right in then. Why don't you start by telling us a story about how you became a coach and how you discovered your passion for working with sleeping dreams?
This is one of those stories where I feel like, you know, God, the universe, however one wants to look at that, has such a sense of humor. As I was saying, I had been becoming a little bit disillusioned with my HR executive job, although I was very successful and it was a very enviable job and there were parts of it that I absolutely loved. I had that sense that I wanted to do and be something more, something that expressed more of who I truly am. And as these things happen, during that time I had a friend who invited me to a workshop locally, and she said, I'm going this weekend, come with me. And it's just one of those things where you say okay without really knowing much more about it than your friend asked, and it sounds like fun. So I went, and that workshop was something called Create Your Future Now, which is led by Marsha Weider. Now, Marsha Weider is America's dream coach. She works with waking dreams, and she has a marvelous 10-step process for envisioning and manifesting waking dreams, things that are really important to people, like I want to become a coach. So that is actually where I met Tim Kelly. I met Tim Kelly, who is the founder of the True Purpose work that Jory and I both do at Marsha Weider's certification program, because I eventually ended up becoming a certified dream coach with Marsha Weider. So I went from the workshop to jumping into certification in her program. The fascinating thing, and I love this about life and about synchronicity, is that when you're on your path, things just happen. So the workshop came. Mm-hmm. And I was already a certified dream coach, but I didn't know I was going to be working with sleeping dreams. At that point, I thought I was working with waking dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And at that first workshop, I had actually, my vision was three parts, my dream. I wanted to leave corporate America, become a coach, and buy a condo on the water. And within 6 months of that workshop, I actually had done all three, including the condo on the water, and they just happened. So here I am, a certified dream coach, and I'm on the internet, and I'm looking for something, and up pops the International Association for the Study of Dreams, which I knew nothing about, never imagined that people studied sleeping dreams, and I thought, wow, I love my dreams. I love my dreams, and would you believe they were having a conference locally the following month?
Oh, my gosh. In the Boston area, you mean?
In the Boston area. And I was free, and so I signed up, I showed up, and I became absolutely hooked at working with people on their sleeping dreams.
Hmm. Well, what's so exciting about it? I mean, I can imagine, but I want to hear you answer it.
What's so exciting about life? It feels like that kind of a question.
Say more about that.
Oh, my goodness. Well, It feels like a really big question, Jory. Could you focus me a little bit more?
Well, why do you think that it is something that you just it really caught your attention? I mean, for a lot of people, maybe that would pop up on their screen on their computer, and they'd be like, "Oh, well, that's nice."
Ah,
but
okay.
It touched you. What do you think? What is it in you? Do you think inside it?
Okay, great question. Great question. Well, my astrologer would actually say that it's
you have an astrologer.
I do.
Oh,
my astrologer, Ron Watson.
Okay.
would answer that question by telling you that I was born to work with people on dreams. And he showed me my chart, and I can't tell you that I understand all the astrological aspects, but what he showed me was that the way the stars were when I was born, I was destined to work with people on bringing things that are unconscious to the consciousness and finding meaning for their life purpose.
Wow. Wow.
Mm-hmm. So there's one answer to your question.
Okay, yeah.
When we're on purpose,
yeah.
Okay, we get really excited, and we get a lot of energy when something, you know, something is on purpose for us. So I would answer the question that way.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Wow. Okay. Well, you know, learn something more about you every day.
Mm-hmm. Ask a good question, get a good answer.
There you go. Well, let's go right into this subject then. You said it in your show description that we have on Blog Talk Radio and on my website, that we may spend more than 6 years of our lives dreaming. I guess you mean sleeping dreams, and you mean for people who actually get a decent night's sleep. A lot of people would love to sleep that much. But many people say they don't dream. Is that true? Does everyone dream? And how does that add up to 6 years?
Yeah. Virtually everybody dreams. I mean, there are some times when somebody's on a medication or they have a brain injury or there is some problem that people may not be dreaming. But virtually all people and all mammals dream.
My dogs do.
Yeah. And experiments where they have actually got people in a lab and they wake them up while they're dreaming. You know, they can see that rapid eye movement, those eyes twitching.
Right.
95% of people, when woken up in that situation, actually do recall dreams. And it's funny because in Western culture, in our culture, most people say they don't remember their dreams. But in other cultures where dreaming is really valued and shared, just about everybody remembers their dreams.
Really?
Yeah, which kind of goes to that point about what we pay attention to, we get more of. Yeah. And when we pay attention to our dreams, they pay more attention to us.
Wow.
So the way I figured the 6 years of dreaming, I was just playing around with the numbers one day, and I said, gee, you know, if the average person has 4 to 6 dream periods a night, and those are just the REM dream periods, rapid eye movement, and they last about 90 minutes each, okay, and if we spend, let's say, 8 hours a night or a third of our life sleeping, what if we live to be 90? If we live to be 90, we would spend about 30 years sleeping. And if we consider that about 20% of that is REM sleep, that's about 6 years of dreaming. And that doesn't include the non-REM states where we might also be dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of time. And I ask people, wouldn't you like to know what you're doing on the night shift?
Oh, cute. Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, what are there dream themes, so to speak? And if so, what are the most common ones?
Yeah, I mean, if you ask people about their dreams, they'll ask you about a number of different kinds of dreams that they have a lot or that people have a lot. And I'm just curious, Jory, what would you think are the most common dream themes?
I would imagine probably somebody, I would imagine that fear shows up sometimes. I'm thinking of my situation when I was in school and junior high and high school. I would sometimes dream that I would show up for the first day of school in my pajamas. And I don't know what that means, but it happened just about, you know, several summers in a row.
Yeah.
So I know that's somehow fear-based. I have no idea what it means, but I would imagine something about that.
Yeah, actually tests, not showing up for a test, forgetting that we even had the course, not finding our locker, you know, not being prepared for school. That's very, very common. Some of the other most common themes are flying, falling, being chased, being trapped, being naked or partially dressed.
And that's the pajama thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And believe it or not, losing or crumbling teeth, particularly as we get to mid-age, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and that's actually more common for women in middle age than it is at any other time.
Okay, well, based on what happened with our conversation about the internet yesterday, and then my internet went out, I'm probably going to dream about my teeth falling out tonight. Thanks for that.
Let me know if you do.
Yeah.
We'll talk offline.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, and so that is unique. I mean, that is not unique to individuals. That's
no.
The common.
Mm-hmm. Those are the most common across cultures.
I was just going to ask, is across cultures? That's something. Okay. All right. Well, did you want to say anything more about that, or do you want
to? Well, just that I think that, you know, some of what comes up in dreams is based on our human experience, our experience as human beings on this planet. And so that you will find that there's a lot of what some might call collective symbolism or universal themes that happen no matter who you are and no matter where you live and no matter what culture you're being brought up in. And then there's the other aspect, which is more personal and more related to you. So maybe just to highlight that the ones I mentioned are very cross-cultural, very collective. But you know, the standard meaning, you know, if you want to say that there is one for flying, might not have anything to do with why you Jory, on one particular night might be dreaming about flying. So.
Okay. All right. And then individual dreams, I mean, they can be very specific to what's going on in our lives.
Absolutely. They can be epic stories.
Right. Mm-hmm. And what about the fact that sometimes, well, I guess it's a recurring dream thing, but, you know, if you're dreaming about something one night and then lo and behold, maybe even a week later or maybe another REM cycle later, you're dreaming about that again, maybe continuing. What's that all about?
Yeah, recurring dreams are really interesting. Recurring dreams, basically, they're trying to get your attention. And I like, when I'm working with people, I like to look at both sleeping dreams and waking dreams, because oftentimes certainly what's happening in our waking life is occurring in our dreams. But you can look at either one and find out what some of the themes are. So if you're getting something happening to you in your waking life and you're not paying attention to it, what happens? It probably gets bigger, it probably gets badder, calls out for your attention a little louder until you pay attention to it. And the same thing happens in your dreams at night. You know, something's coming up and you're not paying attention to it. So, you know, it'll get a little louder or a little scarier down the road. And, you know, then it may turn into waves crashing over your house if you're not paying attention. One of the wonderful things about dream work is if you're paying attention to your dreams, it doesn't have to get to the point where it's crashing over your house. You might do something a little bit earlier. And the same thing with your waking life, if you're paying attention to what's happening there.
Wow. So paying attention apparently is key.
Yes.
Okay.
It's because it's all there.
You
just need to remember it and take some time to see what's coming up, the same way that we need to pay attention to our waking life.
Okay. Well, Beth, you know, I'm thinking about when I was a kid. This used to scare me so much. I used to dream that the furniture would come to life and come walking down the hall to get me to my bedroom. I can assure you that I paid attention to the TV. I really did focus on it. I'm sure I did in my little six-year-old mind, but it still kept happening. So I don't know. I didn't focus on it enough.
And then there's focusing on it as it appeared in the dream, and then there's also doing dream work to find out what's happening, which is a different thing. And probably not something a six-year-old is going to do.
No, I just got scared. Well, so what is going on in our minds when we're dreaming?
Yeah, that's kind of fascinating. When I study dream work, I like to study not only the dream work itself, but also what's happening in the brain and what's happening in the mind. And there's a lot of science now in the area of dream work. So I'm going to suggest, if you are in a place where you can close your eyes for a moment or just pay attention, I'm going to take you through an imagination of what it's like when you're dreaming. Now, obviously, if you're driving, please don't close your eyes.
Yeah.
All right, but just, you know, get still for a moment, and I'm going to take you on a little tour of what it's like when you're dreaming.
Am I going to fall asleep if I do this?
If you
then you're
going to
be on the
wake
show
you
by
up. Okay, no, I don't think so.
Okay.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So imagine that your rational brain, the left part of your brain, is offline. Just turn it off, okay? Almost as if it's going through a defrag process on a computer. So it's gone, it's asleep, it's not with you at the moment. So your logic and your consistency, you know, which are what the left brain really focuses on and processes, is really out the window, to use a metaphor, which dreams love to use. Okay, so pretty much no left brain function. And with that, your external references, your checks on reality, they go away, okay? So this is really an inside job when you're dreaming. You don't have any, your concepts about space and time and gravity are really nonlinear. Anything is possible in a dream. And then add that your short-term memory is very foggy at best, but your long-term memory is much better than in waking life. Okay? Your muscles are becoming paralyzed with chemical changes in your brain, which is really a wonderful thing if you're trying to fly in your dream. Imagine what it would be like if your body actually responded when you were trying to do some of the things that you're doing in your dreams. And sometimes you may have woken up with that feeling you can't move, or be in that half-waking hypnagogic state where you can't move. That's those chemicals still in your system. So what's really hyperactive is the right brain, or the emotional brain, and your visual imagery is very hyperactive. So the associations that you make with words and things and people and memory are really, really loose. And all you've got is your internal reference points, for the most part. Your experiences, your memories, they're all writing the script. And this really gets to that personal nature of dreams and symbols and metaphors and stories versus symbol dictionaries and the more collective symbols. Okay? So again, left brain, rational logic, offline, right brain, hyperactive, hyperloose, and associating, which kind of gets us into that, you know, why are dreams so bizarre? That might be a great place to go next if you want me to continue.
Okay. I'm still awake, by the way.
Okay, good. I didn't really want to put you to sleep. So the language of dreams, you know, in waking life, we combine letters and words and we form sentences, right? And that's a left brain activity, by the way. Okay. In dreams, we're combining images to spell out associations which create a story. So we're not using the letters, for the most part, we're not using letters, words, and sentences. We're using images and symbols and memories and association to create a story. So here's a little example. If you saw in your dream, Jory, a slide rule next to a thermometer, which just strange symbols just appeared on your desk, let's say, in your dream. There's a slide rule and there's a thermometer. What could that mean from a symbolic standpoint? You don't have to get this right.
There's no wrong answer either. Okay. I would say that I'm acting like I'm sick so I don't have to go to school.
Wow. Wonderful. Wonderful.
Or maybe I really am sick, so I don't have to go to school. And the school would have to have been my era, because it's a slide rule, my era for being a kid, because it's a slide rule instead of a calculator.
Absolutely, absolutely. So if I were working with you on your dream, I would ask you questions like, what is a slide rule? What is a thermometer? What's the purpose of those? When in your life have you used a slide rule or seen a slide rule? Mm-hmm. Those kinds of things. In one of the stories that Bob Haas, who's one of the dream masters that I love, he's written a wonderful book called Dream Language. He uses an example of someone who had a question about what they should do as the next step in their life. What kind of, I think they were thinking about career. And so what sort of a career should they pursue? And it was actually in his dream that the slide rule and the thermometer showed up. And for him, it was engineering degree.
Oh, clever.
Yes, that's the brain. The dreaming mind is very clever. So let's try another one. Santa's got a bumblebee flying around him.
Santa Claus?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. That's it?
Yep. That's the only one. It doesn't take much. really doesn't. Dream fragments are enough to work with. Santa's
okay.
got a bee.
All right.
Flying around him.
Okay, and does it need to relate to my life or just I'm going to try to interpret anything?
Whatever you like.
Whatever comes to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I'm thinking, poor Santa, he's come out of the North Pole. He's now in he's in a land that's more tropical and warm. And if he's wearing a Santa suit, he's particularly hot. So I'm thinking he's bringing joy to children in a place that's warm. So maybe it's Christmas in Key West.
Cool.
There you go.
Cool. And I would ask you a lot more about this. So you're a Santa, and your dream is hot.
Yeah, because he's in Bumblebee Land.
He's a hot Santa.
Yeah.
So and someone else's dream, it could be jolly or be generous, be unreal, you know, if you don't believe in Santa.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, depending on your own associations. And that could be a part of some guidance to something that you need in your life.
Okay.
So there's something going on, and maybe you need to be more jolly, or maybe mm-hmm. you need to be more generous, or maybe you need to find a hot, generous man.
And move to Key West.
And go to Key West. Right? Right? So here, that's
wow.
just some examples of associations that you start to play with in dream work. And, of course, it's in the context of the larger dream. But even with a small fragment, you can work with a dream. So as we've been playing around with, dreams really speak in figures of speech and wordplay and double meanings and analogies and even slips of the tongue. You know, some examples, if you have a fence, the fence in your dream could be defense, D-E-F-E-N-C-E. D-E-F-E-N-S-E, defense. A hole, H-O-L-E, is it H-O-L-E or W-H-O-L-E? Is
wow.
it the sole of your shoe, S-O-L-E, or is it your S-O-U-L sole? You know, is the jar a jar, or is it a potentially that something is a jar or open?
Hmm.
Okay. If I want to go out with my friend Flo, maybe I need to go with the flow.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. A friend of mine told me a dream about some executives in her company were in a plane in their dream. The executives were in a plane going down underwater. And when we worked with the dream, I found out that the company's stock had just
yeah,
taken a dive.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
the value
yeah.
was underwater.
Of course. Oh, my God.
Because the whole executive team was
oh my
underwater.
God.
They'd gone from this high place and down and underwater. So
yeah.
it's that, and this is why I love they're entertaining, they're humorous, and they're just
mm-hmm.
so insightful. You know, there's no end to the fun that you can have playing with them, and the things that you can learn. But again, we're drawing on loose connections from different times in our memories that have a common thread or a trigger that somehow relates to something that's going on now in our waking lives.
And I do want to talk about that, because we wrote in the show description that you say that there are seven treasures we can find in our dreams. So I do want to talk about that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But first, I want to you prompted me to ask you about why our dreams are so bizarre, so I don't want to go away from that.
Yeah, actually, that's the part that I had actually talked about just a minute ago, unless there's something else that you wanted me to add, which is really that the left brain is pretty much down and the right brain is hyperactive, and we're really using memories and experiences and associations to
Got
come
it.
Up with symbols and stories that
so
aren't
the,
in words
okay.
and letters. Yeah.
Gotcha. So it's when we turn off our left brain and we're focusing or leading, I guess, primarily from the right, then there are no logical. Yeah, and from the inside, then there are no logical restrictions and
mm-hmm.
all of that. And so
mm-hmm.
that's why. Ah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, and then what about what's going on in our bodies? Because sometimes, just like with when my dogs are, you could see that they're trying to run in their dreams. You know, obviously, people are doing things in their dreams. What's that all about?
Well, there are a lot of things that we could get into around neurochemicals and things like that, but I think the simplest thing to understand is just that there are chemicals going, our brain is being washed with chemicals that are keeping us, our muscles from reacting. We're pretty much paralyzed, you know, for much of our dreaming, so that we're not moving. That's the biggest thing that really is happening in the body.
This is amazing. I'm so impressed that you learned all of this.
I could tell you a lot more, but we don't have all day.
Okay. All right, I'll keep going. Well, so tell us something about the seven treasures. I mean, I'm sure we can't get through all seven.
No, I think what I could probably do in the time that we have is I can talk just very briefly, and there are so many more than seven, but I like to just use seven to introduce to people to some of the things that you can find in your dream.
Okay.
So I'm just going to mention them if it's okay with you, Jory, briefly.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so one of them, and the thing that most people are familiar with, is what we call day residue. It's, you know, whatever's been happening in your waking life during the day or the last couple of days. And people will say, well, that's all dreams are about. You know, my cat showed up in my dream, and, you know, so the cat showed up. I saw a cat today, so what? Well, the question to ask really around day residue is how many thousands of things actually happened in your day or in the last couple of days that the dreaming mind could have focused on and enough for you to remember. So if you're remembering it and it's coming up in your dreams, it's more important than just the fact that it happened yesterday. There's more to it. So there's been some trigger, some association, something that reminds you of something in the past that is still important to you or is important to you right now. Okay? So I think I'll just say that about that right now. Day residue is day residue, but it's also more than that.
It's a funny term.
Yes, yeah. And so another thing is information about the physical condition of our bodies. And this is a really interesting one because people don't tend to look at their dreams that way. But often things like, you know, electrical systems and plumbing and the condition of a house often refer to what's going on in our bodies. And we can become aware of symptoms through our dreams before they ever become conscious or noticeable.
Okay, so if we dream about a clogged toilet, then maybe we should go check our arteries?
Maybe, or maybe some other part.
Yeah, I wasn't going to go there.
Yeah. I love to give the example that Bob Haas, again, uses a great example for this, and we tell people always, if something's coming up in your dream and it feels like it might be a physical issue, you know, if you're concerned about it and you have any reason to be concerned about it, you know, or even if you just want to go check it with your doctor, you know, check it out.
Sure.
But it doesn't necessarily mean that if you have something coming up in your dreams that it is physical either.
Right.
So he gives an example of a story of a woman who had a dream she was riddled with cancer in the dream. She was riddled with cancer. And so when they ended up doing the dream work, and she was very upset by this, and when they ended up doing the dream work, what they discovered was that she had a boyfriend who was a cancer by astrological sign, and he was perplexing the heck out of her, and she didn't know what to do in terms of their relationship. She was riddled with cancer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's something.
Isn't that cool?
It is.
Yeah, and so second is physical conditions. Third, dreams are really mirrors of what's going on for you emotionally, you know, in your emotional relationships and your emotional well-being. Mm-hmm. Somebody said, I don't know who it is exactly right now, but that dreams are a picture of a feeling. And many people think that one of the main purposes of dreams is to process our emotions. So in your dreams, if you look at what are the feelings that are coming up and then relate them to your current life, you will learn a lot about what you're trying to integrate, what you're trying to resolve.
Mm-hmm.
And my own experience in watching my dreams for years now is that you can see the same emotions or issues or circumstances that have had an emotional impact on you in your dreams, and you can watch them get better. You know, you watch them improve over time. So it's really amazing to actually be able to watch how you're dealing with an issue of getting fired, or you're dealing with an issue of an emotional breakup, or, you know, something that really hurt your feelings and made you get triggered to a childhood wound even. You know, so it's amazing to watch those. So there's another thing you can do.
Well, Beth, I'm wondering if we can't do that. If somebody were to not dream, I mean, it sounds like some horrible form of torture, actually, but let's say hypothetically we could prevent somebody from dreaming. What do you think the effects of that would be?
Well, the effects of dreaming are not dreaming are significant because one of the other things that dreaming does is really it really almost is like a defrag for our for our minds and our bodies, and there's a lot of study that has to do with the effect that dreaming has on our well-being. So it wouldn't be a really healthy thing not to dream. And if somebody doesn't remember their dreams from the getting value out of dream work goes, they still could look at their waking life as if it were a dream.
Right. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
So, do you want me to quickly just mention the others, or?
Yeah, just if you would, just mention a few more, and then I'll ask a few more questions.
Okay, great. So, number four is really, where is your waking consciousness focusing your attention? So you get insight into, are there some issues of power or self-worth or abandonment or abundance or something like that coming up in your life? And as we become more aware of that, we're more able to deal with it and resolve it and become more whole. And then guidance. You're getting guidance from your higher self, from your trusted source in your dreams. You'll find information about your purpose, about solutions to problems, about possible outcomes. I might have even practiced this interview with you, Jory, in my dreams. I found myself both developing and practicing workshops in my dreams before.
Wow.
And I might get guidance about how to do that. For example, I might try it one way in one segment of the dream, and the lights go out and the people walk out and I forgot my papers and everything's bad. You know, I might have another segment of a dream where I do something differently, and people are clapping and smiling, and I'm feeling really proud of myself. And so I can go back to that dream and see, well, what was I doing in this part, and what was I doing in that part, and how do I want to take that into my waking life?
Okay.
Creative inspiration and problem solving, really imagination. Einstein, created E equals MC squared, the theory of relativity in his dreams. Paul McCartney got a lot of his songs out of his dreams. Hmm. Jeff Taylor, who created Monster.com, I'd love to see that dream, actually got that out of a dream. And Salvador Dali used to go to sleep with a key in his hand, and when the key dropped, he would be signing that he was in REM sleep, it would wake him up and he would start painting.
And knowing his paintings, I would think that some of his dreams were nightmares.
Well, maybe to you.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. But if nothing else, you know, there's humor and entertainment. They are so bizarre. They're so witty and really a lot of fun in addition to being very valuable.
Well, I'm a little concerned about the time. Whenever I say that, that reminds me of a scene from VeggieTales with the psychiatrist and Larry the Cucumber, but I'll move on. Concerned about the time. I've heard you talk about waking dreams. So what should our listening audience know about that?
I think just that life can be viewed as a dream, whether you're sleeping or waking, and you can treat your waking dreams the same way you treat a sleeping dream, so that once you learn to work with your sleeping dreams, you can also work with your waking dreams in the same way.
Oh, okay. So it doesn't make that much difference where we get the information from.
It really doesn't.
Whether we're sitting in a classroom and daydreaming. Mm-hmm. And then, so I think this next question relates to both waking and sleeping dreams, and that is, how can we learn to interpret and understand the messages and guidance from our own dreams?
Yeah, I think that there are so many answers to that question, Jory. I'm going to give our listeners just a quick one.
Okay.
We've talked a lot about how the symbols and the images and the stories in our dreams come from our own memories and experiences, and at a personal level, at least, if we explore our associations with some of those symbols, then we can get more insight into the dream. So there are a couple of different ways to do that. And Jory, you're familiar with one way that we recommend people do it in the true purpose work, and that is that if there's a place, let's say Santa came up in the dream.
With the bumblebee.
With the bumblebee. And we were really curious about Santa. We could have an active imagination with Santa. And what that would look like is that you would basically get into a dialogue as if you were writing a play, and you would ask Santa something like, okay, I'd say, Beth, Santa, what are you doing in my dream? and then just let whatever comes flow. I write Santa, colon, and see what Santa says. And I'm going to feel like I'm making it up, and that's okay. All right? Whatever Santa says. And then I can respond to the next question. So Santa says, I thought that you were feeling, you know, cold as you were sleeping, and I wanted you to get up and get some blankets.
Oh.
You know, maybe it's as simple as that. Or maybe he said, you know, Beth, I think you ought to be thinking a little bit more about generosity, you know, when it comes to, you know, your family.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then you could ask another question and another question. You could find out more that way. That's called active imagination, which was developed by Carl.
Yeah. Exactly. Thank you. I'm sorry. Say that again. I was going to interrupt you.
That's okay. And another way to do it is to play with the association. So let's say we take the word Santa, and we just write down all of the words that come when we hear the word Santa. So, Jory, if I say Santa, what words come to you?
Happy.
Happy?
Jolly.
Jolly, yep. Yeah.
Do you want me to keep going?
Yeah, you'd get a whole list.
Yes, okay. I would.
but, you know, but you don't want to have it go forever. You just, you know, you want to get the ones that seem to have the most energy in them. And then you could take the ones that have the energy in them and put them in place of Santa in the dream story. So you might just take the, instead of the word Santa, you might put the word jolly or be generous or something into the story and see if you get some insights that way and try the different associations that you had. And the third way that I love is Gail Delaney's method, which is, again, referring to Santa. You might say, if I was an alien from another planet, how would I describe Santa? And you'd start describing, what is Santa? Who is he? You know, what's his purpose?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in doing that, oftentimes people get an association. I was talking to somebody the other day, and she was talking about a dream she had in the karate studio. And when I asked her, I said, well, if I was an alien from another planet, what is karate? And she said, well, it's a means of self-defense, plugged right into her dream.
Yep, because otherwise she's so much into it, she's not thinking outside the box. So
exactly.
The alien from the other planet would really be helpful.
Yeah, so those are a couple of ways that you can start to work with your dream.
Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, Beth, I know that you help people learn and experience more from their dreams. Do you want to say something about the services you provide?
Yes. The things that I love to do with dream work, I do individual dream work with people on their dreams. And my philosophy on doing that is I really want to teach people how to work with their own dreams.
Yeah.
So it isn't just a matter of they work with me forever and I'm the only one who can help them understand their dreams.
Mm-hmm.
I really want them to learn how to do it. Now, having said that, you know, our ego or, you know, our conscious mind is sometimes in the way of our getting a deeper meaning. And so it's always helpful to work with somebody on dreams that are really compelling. I do that. I belong to a couple of dream groups where we actually work on each other's dreams.
Mm.
So I teach individuals how to work with their dreams and through working with their dreams. I also teach groups about dreams and dream work. I teach workshops. I do dream groups where we have groups of people who get together on an ongoing basis and talk about our dreams and help each other to get the most meaning out of them.
That's neat. Something tells me I should probably join one of those groups so I can figure out what happened with the furniture.
Yeah, and the great thing is
elementary.
That, you know, yeah, I don't have to do it just locally anymore. I'm actually going to be doing some teleseminars for dream
there
groups
you go.
And for workshops. So,
what special offer, because I know you have one, do you have for our listeners today?
Well, I thought that the way to start would be to help people with understanding more than we could on this call, and I would be happy to share some resources on how to improve dream recall, some successful ways to catch your dreams, some basic dream work techniques, and some suggested resources. So if people will email me, I will send them those resources. And if they'd like to talk about other kinds of services, for example, dream work, individual dream work, or groups, then I can talk to them more about that at the same time.
Why don't you state what your email address is now?
My email address is Beth, B-E-T-H, Scanzani, S-C-A-N-Z-A-N-I. @AOL.com.
Okay, excellent. Well, right now, I'd love for us to move into the coaching suggestion part of this interview. And so what we do for our listeners who may be listening for the first time is we help you experience and integrate the information that we've discussed on the show. So today, Beth, you've generously offered to share a coaching suggestion, and I'm wondering if you could do that now.
Sure. Sure, great. So I was thinking about this and...
Dreaming about it, probably.
And dreaming about it, probably. I'll have to go back and check my dreams. I actually record my dreams, so I don't have them written down until I take them off my recorder. So I thought I would play with the number 5, since it's 5-5, and do a little exploration on the number 5. Now, I focus a lot with people on the personal significance of their dreams, and there's also a collective meaning to dreams. So this would be more on the collective level. So I did a little research about what different interpretations of the number 5 are. And one of the places that I like to go to do research is it's a website called whatsyoursign.com for people who are interested. There's another one called dreammoods.com. These are the kinds of things that would be, especially dream moods, a little more on the symbol dictionary kind, but after I do my personal work or after people do their personal work, it's perfectly fine to go see what else, you know, it might mean. But I always recommend they do personal work first. So the meaning of the number 5 is really that it holds that container of number 1, number 2, number 3, and number 4. And within those first 4 numbers, there's both chaos and beneficence. So it's all wrapped up into the number 5. The 5 ends up expressing, it's almost like knowing the whole through its parts. Okay, so 5 knows itself through the first 4. And you might also look at that through the eyes of the Greeks, who saw the pentagram as the perfect symbol of the 4 elements. There was water, air, earth, and fire, mm-hmm. plus a 5th element, which was the unifying factor. Okay, which had to do with quintessence, you know, harmony and unity of all elements. And so this 5 represents the element in each of us that really seeks more expression, more unification, wholeness, and understanding of who we are. The whole of who we are. And I thought, wow, how purposeful is that? So I thought that was just perfect. So I thought I'd ask a few questions just that people can explore to get a broader experience of the purposeful meaning of 5 in their life. Mm-hmm. So one could be, who am I at my core? Another might be, what unifies me and keeps me balanced in my center? In what ways am I yearning to be and do and know more? And why? And what would it change in my life if I experienced more of all of that, or any of that? That's it.
Okay. Would you please repeat them?
Sure. Who am I at my core? Mm-hmm. What unifies me and keeps me balanced in my center? In what ways am I yearning to be, do, and know more, and why? And if I had more of these things in my life, what would I change? What would that change? How would that change my life?
Okay, good coaching questions. Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I got it. Okay, well, Beth, we have just a few minutes left here before they're going to cut us off on Blog Talk Radio. So thank you very much. I wanted to just go on in and let people know what they can expect next week. So would you like to address that?
I certainly would. Next week I'm going to interview Donna Crone, who's also a certified True Purpose Coach and is the founder of a business called Sacred Conversations. And her business focuses on creating and delivering transformational programs in the area of life purpose, leadership, and legacy. So Donna had gotten to a point at the age of 40 where she had that nagging sense that I mentioned, that this, you know, maybe this is not what I meant to be doing. And she created this business, Sacred Conversations, to show people how Sacred Conversations can help them develop the confidence to share what's most deeply meaningful with their family, friends, and their broader community. She calls this legacies of the heart.
Mm, beautiful. And I know Donna too, well, at least virtually. And I'm really excited that she's going to be on the show. In fact, I'm really excited that so many people are just really eager to know their purpose these days. I think that there's a lot of talk about it, you know, whether it's Rick Warren's book on purpose-driven life or any of the other authors who are writing about it. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of emphasis on it. And you and I, and now Donna, can certainly attest to the fact that it just really helps a person's life be enriched. So look forward to having Donna and Beth, if you could just say a couple minutes, we don't have a lot of time left, but a couple of minutes about our teleseminar that we're offering.
Sure. Actually, we have one group already full, and we also have some space available in a second group that we could begin this month. And it's really an excellent opportunity for people to get clear, as Jory was saying, on who you are and what you're designed to do in the world. And the way that we do it is in small groups where people can both get individualized attention and also get the benefits of being in a group. The classes are 8 sessions. They're taught by Jory and me. And then there's also a one-on-one coaching session at the end to support you as you get ready to move forward and start to live a much more purposeful, joyful, and passionate life in the world. So if you're feeling called to do this, or you know someone else who's ready to step more fully into the life they were meant to live, and who wouldn't, have them send me an email, BethScanzani@AOL.com or Jory@WomenFindPurpose.com.
Well, thanks. Well, thank you, Beth, and thank you, everybody out there. You've been listening to Heart and Soul with Jory Fisher, a life, career, and true purpose coach from Lynchburg, Virginia. And with Beth Scanzani, a life, leadership, true purpose, and dream coach from Rockport, Massachusetts. Beth, I think we have a minute here. Would you please do the honors of leaving us a quote for the week?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Thank you. Well, one of my favorite quotes is from Clarissa Pinkola Estes, who wrote Women Who Run With the Wolves, one of my favorite books. And she said, "All that you are seeking is also seeking you. If you lie still, sit still, it will find you."
Thanks. I need to sit with that for a moment. Well, thank you so much, everyone, listening live and on the recording, for being with us today. We especially want to thank you, Beth, for enlightening us on the value of dream work. Again, folks, you can reach Beth at Beth Scanzani, BethScanzani at AOL.com. I invite you to visit my website, womenfindpurpose.com, to email me, Jory@womenfindpurpose.com, or Beth Scanzani@AOL.com, if you'd like to share your questions, ideas, or comments with us, or if you'd like to join our True Purpose Teleseminar that Beth was just talking about. Please let me know if you'd like to receive my weekly announcements of our upcoming shows on Heart and Soul. I'd be more than happy to include you in my mailing list. If you enjoyed the show today, would you please consider making this show a favorite on Blog Talk Radio by clicking on the little red heart marked FAV under our show name. So thank you, and Beth, would you like to say goodbye?
Goodbye. This was fun.
It was fun. You're wonderful. You're just as good a guest as you are a co-host, so I appreciate you, Beth. Well, until next week, everybody, may God bless you, keep you, guide you, and inspire you to be all you are designed to be. Take care.
Bye.